Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. My name is Nikki Paranormal, and I'm just one of the hosts this evening. The other one is Rob Zarek. I'll bring him in live.
Apparently no music was played
today,
huh?
No, that threw me off totally. I was like,
well, you know,
I
just thrown off all day because I tried to put a second photo on our promotion today, and for whatever reason, I cannot put a second photo on. So it seems like the easiest tasks have been an issue today because normally you can put like 40 clips or pictures and whatever you want to put. And it asks, so lately I've even noticed it asks you like, do you want to do like this kind of format or a new kind of format or a photo book format, like all these new things that I've never even seen before. Like normally it comes up over the past like 2 or 3 weeks. I've been meaning to ask you
but
about
two
that.
Pictures?
You've seen that.
Nah. Nope.
But today, 2 pictures, they're like, no, you can't do that. But usually it's like, do you want to add 50 photos? Do you want to add the photos in this format? Like, it must be a new Facebook thing that, like, allows you to add your photos into a different format when you present them on a post. But nothing. I couldn't. And then I was like, well, I'll just go back and edit it. And then when I went back to edit it, it wasn't. So it's just our logo, but I usually try to spruce it up where there's some additional photos of us and stuff, and nothing was having it tonight. So hopefully
no, and my Skype was trying to be a typical, or my computer, one of the two, were trying to give me issues. Frustrating.
Well, hopefully that will be the extent of our issues tonight, because we have a pretty interesting show/podcast to put out, and it's regarding our captures at different locations and pertaining to what we feel like are possible Civil War captures.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at it again recently. And
yes.
Captured what could well be one of the better clips and one of the better pieces of evidence that we've ever captured, because it's just so bizarre. And I know we recently had Harvey Althaus on our show, and I also know, and our listeners know, you do not necessarily love having repeat guests on. If it's Harvey, or no matter, you can love the person. That's just not your thing, is to have repeat guests on. But the importance of, you know, our clip and playing it for Harvey and for, because, you know, Harvey's a Civil War buff. And
yes.
It's of relevance tonight because we kind of captured a piece of evidence that was pretty phenomenal, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too.
And I'm hoping you do, too, because if you don't, then the premise of the entire show tonight is not necessarily
epic fail. Epic fail.
Yeah, going to be added to my epic fail list, which is, I would say, substantial.
Oh,
you're supposed to say no. You're supposed to say no. It's not. But
I said you're funny. Is that not okay?
You just laugh like, yeah, I know it's such.
Yeah, typical Rob.
When I think of you, I think of epic fail. So that hurt. But
so
I'll get.
I mean,
get
no,
through.
Not you.
Okay. Right, epic fail. Never.
Shocker.
Something like that. No, you're not supposed to say shocker. You're supposed to say never.
I am being funny. Can't I be funny? It's funny to me.
Sometimes it is.
Not funny to you.
But in all reality.
Anyway.
In all reality. Anyway, I think the evidence we captured is quite interesting. And the premise of tonight's show is to have we played the clip for Harvey, and he's going to listen to it again. We have a better – I kind of gave him a sneak peek, but of a bad version. So I don't know how good of a peek it really was. So he's going to have a good version of the clip, and then it's only a 5-second portion. Now, what we are not telling Harvey is all of the additional information that we may or may not have captured that evening.
Because, I was going to say, he's in the queue, probably holding his ears, going blah, 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 blah.
Yep. No, so we have, but one thing that I did not do is so we have captured names that we feel might be relevant, you know, and when it comes to spirit box, since this was captured in a spirit box, a lot of times you take the names with a grain of salt, but the names that we had gotten that evening were multiples of the same name throughout the night. So that is a bit interesting. You know, I did not tell him any of that stuff. You know, he knows there's names and some other stuff, but I'm curious to see some of the other stuff that we had captured that night, what he gets on the storyline of just that little bit of that clip where we played for him and we're going to play for him in a clean cut version, compared to, you know, take what he's seeing compared to what we know we've captured and then put it two together and hopefully have maybe an actual storyline.
That would be so cool.
And if not, we tried.
Yeah. So we really don't know what the outcome's going to be, which makes it kind of risque, if you will.
Yeah, we're doing it live on air.
I know. So we could just be totally just like,
Right. Epic fail. So
could be.
There you go. Another one. Add it to the list for two
Add it to
today.
The list there.
Very nice.
Yep. We won't know until we do it.
No. And actually, we have multiple things that, you know, we can play for him because we were there about 3 weeks beforehand, too, and we have a pretty interesting capture. And I don't think we actually talked about that on here the last time we had him. I think we had him on before that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But time flies, so I'm not sure.
I know, right? That it does. Too much.
We might have already had him on in regard to all of this, and I just
I'm having a little memory lapse here.
Senile to the and everything else to
the list of awesome descriptions, right?
Right. If I said, "My name's Rob," and you're like, "Wait a minute, we've already done the intro." I'm like, "What?"
You're like, "We did? What? We're doing a show right
the
now?
Intro?
Oh my god!
Where are we?" I'm so confused.
That actually, you know what, and what day it is. I feel bad because, like, guests will come in and I'll be like, what is today's date? And I totally cheat. It's not like I actually know. If I didn't have that phone in front of me with the date big and big, like, numbers, I'd have no idea. And they look at me like, yeah, it's sad. I just don't know. You know, they all blend together. Like the story of my life.
Or you're just
right
bad at bad with the calendar. I don't know. It might be
one
of
those. It could be. I don't know, but I'd like to, commend you for becoming better with the calendar because for the longest time, like, you had no idea when Tuesday was. So I will give you props where props are due. You've figured out.
Today is Tuesday,
See, look at that. Look, you got it. You're doing good.
You know what? It was the if you're making reference to during the show,
you never
remembering
when there was a show.
I still have some setbacks when it comes to certain things when it comes to the show, but it just seems like Tuesdays always come around super fast. But let's bring in our guest, Harvey.
Yes.
Our house.
Yes.
And
let's do this.
Let's set the tone for tonight's amazing show.
Amazing show. Look at that, Jinx.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Harvey. Welcome.
Hello. Good evening.
Hi.
How are you doing tonight? So we have you on again. And it has to be a special show because Nikki does not like to have repeat guests on so soon. Even if it's Harvey or anyone, it could be like her favorite person in the world. She's like, we just had them on. Why are we having them on again? It's a very high honor to have her not complain or at least complain openly about having
Nikki
on. So
I'm very honored, Nikki.
Yes, you should be because I really do. I'm like, seriously, dude? And I didn't say that, see? Because I love me some Harvey.
Or I did give her time. I didn't give her time to process it. I'm like, Harvey's coming on. Deal's done. Deal with it.
Okay,
which,
well,
you know,
that.
Say.
Yeah,
but you know,
when
it cuts you to live, you can say anything you want in that like 4 to 5 seconds right before it cuts you to live because she can't respond. That's what I found out. So I wait every Tuesday. Every Tuesday, I've got like five seconds something I've wanted to say, and then I leave her like that's when ever if you listen to our show from the start, she's like it's a real shaky intro. It's because I finally got my 5 seconds in that week, and it was right before she went live because she can't respond. It's the best 5 seconds of my life every week.
Or the fact that
she
forgets to put the intro
seconds.
Music. It's one
or
the other.
Wow. So I didn't. Yeah, tonight I forgot to put the intro music, so it was a bit of a fail. But the reason why we have you on tonight is because we talked to you
awesome.
Recently about... Yeah, and the fact that we talked to you about our travels and investigations in Gettysburg. And we were at it again last week. I believe it was about 6 days ago. And we captured something that we found super interesting. And it's something that I would say is a rarity when it comes to, first of all, getting this type of evidence, and then second of all, actually capturing it. Because we all know there's that chance you get the evidence that's the most amazing evidence ever and you don't capture it. But we actually were able to capture this. You know, so that's the cool part about it is it's double cool. So it might be the
double
coolest.
Cool.
I don't know if you would call it that. The coolest. You know, we were at, so do you want to know where we're at, or how do you want to set this?
Well, just tell me what part
of
Gettysburg, give me a section of the town that you were in, okay, so if I'm looking, let's say I'm on Culp's Hill, okay, I'm looking down on Gettysburg, there's the center of town, which if I was to turn myself to a 45-degree angle, would be the center of town. So are you more, you know, looking at from Culp's Hill and Cemetery, you know, Cemetery Hill, looking at Gettysburg, would you be to the left looking straight at it, or would you be to the right or to this or in the center?
So you
I think
basically
you
where
would
we
be
were
to
at.
The right.
Go ahead.
Right? Wouldn't it be to the right?
So
am I right, Rob?
I'll give you the exact, to some extent. So it would be, you would know exactly where the circle was.
Yes.
So I would use that as your center spot.
Okay. So Nikki is mostly right, correct as far as her assumption. Because looking from Culp's Hill at 45-degree angle, the center of town, you know, which... You would think that would be, you know, that because there's a hub, you know, the streets that run into there. It's a little bit, me looking down would be my right, would be to the right of town, but not too far to the right. Okay, so now I gotcha. Okay.
Yep.
All right, so on the first day of, after, let's see, approximately, it was just before sunset. On the first day of the Battle of Gettysburg. This is shortly after, well, let's put it this way. The first day, the Lutheran Seminary, you know, Major General Reynolds, you know, the Iron Hat Brigade, he was the highest ranking Union General killed, you know, in battle. General Buford, holding up the Heath Division. So what happened is that this is a long-running battle, you know, most of the day, and Buford and his dismounted cavalry at Lutheran Seminary, they were, you know, staving off, you know, the major of the division, of the Heath Division, okay, of the Confederates. So what they were doing is, as you know, there's that road up above the seminary now. There wasn't back in the day, but there's a road up there now. I can't remember what it's got. Maybe it's called Seminary Way. I can't remember exactly. But you can follow that from the start of the battle where, you know, it wasn't just, you know, they fought, you know, Buford fought and held them there at that spot. They, it was a running battle sweeping to from the Lutheran, you know, from the Lutheran Seminary, looking up the hill, you know, at Seminary Ridge. You know, they kept the Union kept moving to the right, which would be the Confederates' left flank. And what they're doing, they're paralleling each other for most of the day. And this is when, you know, Major General Reynolds of the Iron Brigade came up, and they were, you know, had him held up a little bit in this little forest, and Buford saw him come, you know, come to his position, you know, from the Lutheran Seminary corporal on top of the building. And he said, "Oh, thank God, you know, the Iron Brigade's here." Anyways, General Reynolds is killed, you know, shot through the head, just dropped dead. But that didn't stop the battle. That just intensified. Now, the Iron Brigade held, but General Heath, by that time, you know, Robert E. Lee was, you know, adding more people. So the Confederate rank is swelling, trying to outflank, trying to go to the right flank of the Union line. So this is why they come back. You know, there's the railroad cut area that got involved. Lots of people died there. Union division, can't remember which one it is, it's on the tip of my tongue here. You know, they started out with 200 some men. There's only like 90 of them that survived that, but they held their position. So the Confederates had to keep pushing around and going through town. So roughly 1 to 2 in the afternoon, you know, they were having this running battle in this big arc through town, right? So, you know, Farnsworth House, all these places, oh God, what's her name? The lady who was shot and killed, you know, through the
Jenny
door.
Wade.
She was making bread. Yes. The Jenny Wade, you know, those people, all the people hiding in the basements, you know, houses being, you know, used as sniper dens, you know, on both sides, and then, you know, field hospitals through the entire town. It just seems like they're everywhere. You know, every house is seen, like church, whatever, every building. So then at around, I want to say 4 o'clock in the afternoon that day, it was hotter than a, you know what, because it happened to be extra hot that 4th of July weekend, you know, that this is all happening, you know, the week that this is happening. So anyways, they got into town. Now, General Ewell, you know, the old Southern general that was, I can't remember what division he was with, but he came down from Hagerstown, okay? And he was sweeping down, and his job was to get to the extreme right flank and push everybody out of town. And then, you know, but then he started doing that, and that, you know, that center part, you know, that circle thing is you're talking about, there's a lot of people that got killed around that, both sides, okay? A lot of horses, too. I think I seen a picture, you know, of all the civilian horses and stuff that were killed, you know, in that area that day just by stray bullets, you know. Anyways, so there's all this stuff going on in that particular area you're talking about. You know, there was, if I can be wrong, but I feel that around that area, Rob, that you were talking about, you know, there was an open lot. And I think it might have been like a town park, you know, originally. A lot of people died in that area. A lot of people were captured. But, you know, so they kept pushing. The Confederates kept pushing slowly, but they kept pushing. Well, Robert E. Lee told Ewell to push them out of town, push them out of town and chase after them because we got them on the run. But he halted just before sundown when they went up to Culp's Hill. He would have just kept pushing. It probably would have been a different narrative as far as history is concerned. But he stopped for the night because he was tired, you know, and his troops. I get that. But that allowed the Federals to dig in up on Culp's Hill. I don't know if you've ever taken that, you know, walked up on that line up there where all the breastworks and stuff are. Nearly impregnable, right? So anyway, so in that particular area where you guys were, you know, and you guys get all this, you know, this new incredible stuff, you know, there's no wonder. Okay. So keep it coming. I just wanted to give a preface, you know, so everybody knew what was kind of going on in that area at that time.
Right.
So go ahead. Continue.
You know, so we decided to do a candle reading session, and, mm-hmm. and it was going okay, but we decided to throw in the spirit box. You know,
mm-hmm.
We're a sucker for a good spirit box session.
Mm-hmm.
It lasted about 30 minutes. At about 25 mm-hmm. minute mark, we got a pretty interesting capture, and that's what we played for you. Now, throughout the other 25 minutes, we were getting some interesting, what we feel were intelligent responses. And
mm-hmm.
I made both a mental note and we marked them down mm-hmm. on those responses. So I guess by having played you that clip, I want to get your take on what you feel like, you know, you hear in that clip, and then who
right.
you feel was the person involved in presenting that clip to us, and see if it matches
right.
with anything that we feel we might have captured
right.
that evening. Because there's a couple of key elements that I will not tell you beforehand,
okay.
That I will, you know, tell you afterwards that we feel, you know, we captured that I thought was rather interesting.
Okay.
So I guess that's the thing is, you know, why were we presented that clip? Who gave us that clip? And then, you know, maybe a little bit more about them if you can pick all of that up. Obviously, if you can't,
right.
then, you know, don't reach. But if you get
right.
it, if you get
well,
it, just
right,
go with
right,
it because
right,
yeah.
we
well,
captured
you know,
a bunch.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm the first one to tell you. I don't know everything, and sometimes it doesn't work like that for me. But that clip,
mm-hmm.
that,
right.
clip that you did, that clip that you did send to me, you know, the only thing, and I was honest with you. I said, I'm not quite sure what I'm supposed to hear, but it sounds like a bugle is what I picked up on.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
and, you know, and but, it, you know, it was short. But, you know, I have to, you know, my first thing was, oh, maybe it's a charge bugle, but it's not. I used to do American Civil War reenacting. I did it for almost 8 years. And we're very authentic. And all the bugle calls that we use reenacting were all the bugle calls that they used during the war. And
mm-hmm.
one in particular, this is why it really caught my attention, was it's a bugle. They call it recall, you know. And recall is, it goes, oh, shoot, I can't remember. But it's not the charge car. It's not the da-da-da. It's not that. You know, it's more pronounced. And what it means is, and what I feel what was going on was, you know, because during that time, you know, during that time through the whole day, you know, especially the Federals, they were running here and there, you know, just trying to get out of there. They're being so overwhelmed, you know. And I feel there was companies, you know, and just groups of men that were just, you know, trying to stay alive and trying to get the hell out of there, you know. But when I heard what it, to me, sounds like recall or stand here, muster around me, rally here, you know, I have a feeling that, you know, there was some officer, doesn't matter what his pay grade was, I think he got tired of running and he needed to do something to hold off a little bit so, you know, the people who were getting out, you know, we're going to be okay. You know, so I feel that he either happened to have a bugler with him, or you know how to bugle. I'm not sure. But I feel what I heard, and I played it a couple times, it's recall or, you know, muster here. You know, come back to your, you know, come back to your company, come back to your battalion. You know, and during the din of battle, it is so loud. You know, even when I was reenacting, you know, we're shooting blanks, but we're shooting full grain powder blanks, you know,
mm-hmm.
and cannons, and it is so loud. So I was telling Rob, you know, they even use drum beats to facilitate,
mm-hmm.
you know, on the battlefield, they would use the drums, you know, to do steps for, you know, steps for firing. But then even
right.
the din of the battle got too loud, they would use bugles, you know, not
mm-hmm.
necessarily to fire, but, you know, to here we are over here. Here you can hear the bugle come this way. You know, now as far as, you know, I know Rob. You know, you guys got some names.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and God knows there were all kinds of names that day that ended up dying. Right. You know, so I feel where you guys
or that were there.
Right, absolutely, or that were there. But, I mean, I can be wrong, but, you know, in and around Gettysburg, there's a lot of, you know, because, you know, Pennsylvania was founded by William Penn, right? And he's Dutch. He was a Dutchman. So I feel that, you know, even in Gettysburg, Harrisburg, all those other water bird places, there's a lot of native Pennsylvania Dutch there, you know, not Amish by any means, but, you know, Dutch. Kind of like where I grew up in the Midwest, there's a large community of German, you know, German people there.
Right.
But during Gettysburg, there was a few regiments that were Pennsylvania, you know, who were commanded by Dutchmen. You know, they were their own, you know, battalions. And now I'm not saying that what you were picking up has anything to do with the Dutch, but a name that came to me was, and I think it was a first name, but to me, you know, and I don't know, I mean, I heard before the, you know, during that, just prior and just after that bugle thing, I kind of heard things, you know, before that. And one, to me, sounded like Ezra or something like that. I mean, I could be wrong on that if that was a name, you know. And another one that, I don't know, hit me later, and I don't know if this has any bearing, is the name Charlie, okay? But there's a last name to it. It's Charlie Wilson. That's a name that I got. I don't have any idea if that was a civilian or if anybody was there. But, you know, I got Ezra, or maybe I heard it wrong, but that to me sounded like it said Ezra. And then a Charlie Wilson, if that made any sense. Does any of those two names sound anything like you guys got?
I do not know. Like, I have to listen to the part that you were. I know that the one name that we had gotten through was John, and then we got a last name. First name or last name was Patrick. And that's one of the things, though, like, it's like, you know, like I had mentioned to you, is we take names with a grain of salt because of the radio aspect. But it was through a lot. And when we did some research, there was a John Patrick who was relevant. And then there was another, the key thing that we found and was a clear-cut answer was, I don't know, Nikki, should we just tell Harvey now what one of the clear-cut answers that we felt
about
the death?
Yeah, just tell me.
So the death that we had asked, and I do not remember the exact, you know, when we put this out and we cut it, you know, there'll be more defined. You'll hear the answer or the question. But I know that there was a distinct answer to, no, I did not die that day during the Civil War. I lived past the Civil War.
Yes.
Wow.
And that was, like, we actually, you know, we, like, asked it multiple times just to make sure, and I believe in general that was a response, and I just have that feeling that whoever we talked to did not die that day, but that day or with that time and where we were was significant to them, that they were there with us for whatever reason. I do not know why, but, you know, they were multiple times told us they did not die that day.
Well, so I'm gonna say, I mean, I can be wrong, but to me that response doesn't feel like it had anything to do with being a soldier.
Okay.
So a separate response.
Yeah,
a separate person.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, there was lots of, I mean, you know, let's face it, there are several people who survived that, especially, you know, civilians, you know. But let me ask you this. Where you got this stuff, was it actually, were you actually, you know, on the grounds or actually inside of a building?
We were
in a building.
Okay. So do you know the history about this particular building?
Yeah, the part that we were in was an addition to one of the more historic buildings there in the circle.
Okay. So
the historic building was there at the time.
Right.
But the addition we were on in the inn was not.
It was more modern. Was maybe after the
yeah,
fact,
but not like,
maybe
not like super modern. Yeah, like but
no.
Yeah,
I mean like
it was,
with the, even 20, 30 years after, it's still pretty old.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the response that you got that said that they survived, I'm just assuming that the hell. Well, I just saw a spider go across my leg. Gross.
maybe it was a sign.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just like, first, I'm going, is that another mole? No, it's a spider, tiny one. Anyways, on his merry way. I haven't heard that. I'm just wondering, you said it was very crisp and clear, the response. Is this correct?
Yes.
Yeah, very clear.
Yeah, and I mean, I can be wrong, but my first impression was it's male. Is this correct? That was the response,
yes.
Male?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And let me ask you this, though. Although it was clear, did it sound like it kind of like had kind of a somewhat of a grovelly voice?
I believe so.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
And the reason why I'm asking is, you know, a lot of people smoke back in those days. It's like, you know, you're born smoking a cigar.
Right.
I feel that this person had something to do with, or possibly, you know, was the owner of the original building that was there. I feel he was a. At the time, he was probably early 40s.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel that
a young,
you know,
guy.
He was. Yeah, like how young?
Young guy. Super young, early 40s. That seems like he's a kid.
A spring chicken, if you will. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Right. So, but anyways, I just, you know, I'm being drawn to the throat area. I just feel like, you know, it was, you know, grovelly because of, you know, heavy smoking and, you know, but I do feel that they were, let me ask you this, that particular building, is there historical significance during the day of the battle? At least that you know of or not?
Not that I know of for the day of the battle.
Okay.
Unless, Nick, you know something.
It very well could be. I haven't done enough research to know for sure.
Right, right. Well, the reason why I'm asking is because, you know, there's a lot of buildings, you know, all over Gettysburg that still have preserved bullet holes in the side of them. You know, from Jenny Wade's house,
right.
You know, the bullet hole in the door, where he sticks their fingers in it. Well, they got shot with a 70 millimeter. No. It was probably a 50 caliber back in the day, but everybody sticks their fingers in it. Now it's the size of a freaking, you know, like a
right.
peanut butter jar, you know, size almost.
Mm-hmm.
People, they want to touch it, you know. Let me ask you this. Is part of the building that we're talking about, is it brick?
Yes.
Yes. And I
okay.
do know a couple of things that played a factor in, because I believe we heard a story about didn't we hear a story about the gentleman who owned it coming home, and there were soldiers in the cellar?
Yes, that's right.
They were wounded or deceased in his cellar
right.
when he came home, and he was like all upset about it.
Right, right. Well. So there were, you know, were they Confederates, or were they a mixture of both?
I'm not sure.
Do not know.
Right. So I mean, I could. I'd be upset. Wouldn't you be upset? Strangers in your house, dying and bleeding all over your house.
Yeah, I'd probably be a little disturbed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and you know, weeks after, you know, weeks and months after, you know, the battle, I mean, it was pretty much the citizens of Gettysburg went out and interred most of those people and burnt horse carcasses and dead cattle. And I mean, they had a mess they had to clean up. And if what I understand is Washington really didn't help them, you know, so,
yeah.
You know, sure, you have the, you know, the National Cemetery there, you know, but and they had a few more graves, but there were so many dead people all over the place. You know, it's like after the battle, you know, you just, all you have to do is look at Alexander Gardner's photographs, you know, after the battle there, you know, dead bodies over here, dead bodies over there, dead bodies on the hill, dead bodies on that hill, dead bodies, you know, in a railroad cut, there was dead bodies everywhere, you know, and, you know, there's a famous Alexander Gardner picture, and, you know, the one, I'm sure you've seen it, the one where they show a supposed sniper in Devil's Den, and he looks like he was totally staged, you know, that they think that Alexander staged his body behind this rudimentally, you know, quickly built, you know, stone fence, I guess, to give him more protection as he was, you know, a sniping area, you know, but to go home though and have people dying or in the dead already down in your basement, and he had to deal with those people himself, you know. It's like, hey, Bill, I'm going to call my neighbor, come over. Yeah, would you help me haul out the dead bodies, please?
Right. Calling it a favor.
You know. So I get it. So possibly what you tapped into, Rob, was, you know, the gentleman who had everything to do with that home right there. And, you know, I've always said, you know, when we die, I don't think we go to the biblical sense of heaven, but we go back in time where we spend a lot of our energy in life, you know, in life doing, you know, and I think possibly, you know, he's still, you know, he passed away. He lives his life, passed away. He's back in the Gettysburg old home right there. Notices things have been changed a little bit because he sounds very intelligent. You know, if he was able to get that clear of a message to you guys, you know.
Well, do you feel like the trumpet call was just a residual thing that we somehow tapped into, or do you think it was specifically played for us because we were?
That's a really good question.
About the afterlife.
Let me okay, hold on to that question. Let me give you a parallel. Here's a difference that I found between an intentional possible played for you that day, that night. I was in not too far away from the old battleground of Cold Harbor in Virginia, you know, a few years ago, and I was at a KOA camping in a RV. When about 11:30 at night, I started hearing what I thought were fireworks, you know, in the distance, and it went. I mean, I actually recorded it. I have a 40-minute of boom, 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 out in the distance. You know, nobody has that many fireworks to do 40 minutes of fireworks. You know, so it went on and on, and it was so bad. The cicadas were bad too, but I could hear it above the cicadas. Now, you would think, you know, that, you know, if I wasn't sleeping, nobody else was. But my wife was sleeping, my kids were sleeping, and I went out, and I didn't see anybody else out trying to figure out what the hell this was until I walked to the road, you know, to where off the old county road, and I'm looking out in the distance. There's this field. You know, in Virginia, there's trees everywhere, you know, but there was an open field, and I was looking from where it was coming. I thought there had to be fireworks. I think, oh, somebody's got a, you know, stock cars roaring tonight, and they're blowing off a lot of fireworks. But I kept going and kept going and kept going. So I got my digital recorder and I was recording it. And all of a sudden this guy comes comes up and he scared the crap out of me because, you know, there's no lights out there. He goes, hey, do you hear that too? And I said, you can hear this? He goes, yeah. I says, I haven't slept a wink yet. I'm trying to figure out where it's coming from. He actually had walked down the road a ways. And same thing. He thought, you know, he'd see fireworks or nothing. So anyways, the next day, the morning we were checking out and in the office and, you know, I was waiting in line and then waiting until the people left out the door and I went to pay my for that night. And I looked at the owner and I said, I have to ask you a question. Was people doing fireworks? I mean, was there a fair or something close? He goes, no. And I said, well, I heard, she says, you heard, she said, does it sound like cannon fire? I said, yeah. She says, oh, almost every year this time, you know, this time of year, we hear it because it was a week after the anniversary of the battle, the second battle of Cold Harbor, you know, and people for generations have been hearing it, but not everybody could hear it, you know? So she said, you're gifted, aren't you? And I said, well, I don't know why I'm sensitive. And she says, I am. My mother is. You know, she said, I would stand, because that was their property. They just turned it into their KOA, you know, her family's property. And she says, we've been listening to that stuff forever. My dad never heard it. My grandpa never heard it. You know, my grandmother and my mom, we all heard it. We'd stand out here at night. She said they used to have parties. But there's other people, you know. And I actually, I got it on one of my YouTubes. You know, I call it Ghostly Cannon Fire. Anyways, so, but what you were given, you know, unless it was anywhere, you know, that this happened, was it during, you know, the 4th of July weekend? Any one of those from the 1st through the 4th? Was it any one of those days that you captured this on?
No, it was literally 16.
No.
So
yeah.
It was the 11th.
Okay.
August
11th. So that could be a telling that, you know, it's not residual. And I think, I feel that it was shared with you, you know, to really get your attention. That's my thought on that.
That's interesting because I didn't even think that the dates didn't line up.
Right, because it was the 1st through July, you know, the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
And on July 3rd, it was the hottest freaking day they'd ever had, you know, I mean, on record. And then fourth, you know, then the next day it was 1st through the 3rd was actual battle. And then July 4th, when Grant's, you know, when the Army of the Confederacy was, you know, trying to get out of Pennsylvania, head back south, it was like, you know, the clouds, like they had their bellies ripped open, and it was the most torrential downpour they'd had in a long time. And General Meade, you know, was asked by his subordinates if they should chase after the scoundrels, you know, run them into the Potomac River, or you know, chase them as far as you can, and don't let them across. Is it the, I can't remember what river that is. Anyways, you know, but he said, nah, that's okay. We licked them enough, let them lick their loons. God, you know, and it was just so much rain on that 4th of July. So, yeah, so, but if it was past that just 6 days ago, yeah, that was, I feel that, you know, you're given a gift, a treat. Because I'm telling you, when I heard it, when you sent that to me, that's what I heard. I heard a bugle. To me, it is definitely a bugle call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have not. It's very rare to capture that type of, you know, I think because obviously it's so relevant to the Civil War and,
right,
you know, soldiers, and we're out and we're possibly communicating with a soldier. You know, it's very, you get the words that you might be able to piece together, or,
right,
you know, like the time before we got the I'm dying, which is super clear.
Right.
You know, I need help, I'm dying. But to get that type of, you know, response was just, it was unique even for us because we don't get a lot of, like, I mean, we may disregard like 95% of, we might be getting songs and music and tons of stuff played for us all the time. And we're just like, not looking for it or not known. But this
probably
is just so matched up. Yeah, probably tons of stuff being played for us on a daily basis. We don't even know.
Right.
But, you know, that's something that you can easily, it's distinct to the Civil War, at least a soldier, you know, and the fact
right.
that, so we were getting, different, where we are is just, completely relevant, and I thought that was the cool part about it.
Right.
You know, it's unique. I don't think we've captured anything like that before.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah, because I haven't. I mean, I've captured a bunch of stuff, but nothing quite like that. And it was almost, I mean, because, the randomness of that coming up, you just happen to be in a well-known Civil War, historical area.
Mm-hmm.
And even for a ghost box, who the hell is playing Civil War, bugle calls?
No one on the radio.
You know,
the
naysayers will be like, well, that was on the radio, but I have to question what radio would be playing that, like what station would be playing that. Our questioning was right in the heat of our questioning related to, were you a soldier? Did you die in the Civil War? Stuff of that, nature, the questioning lined up to the response. That's what's, also interesting. It wasn't like, hey, we're in Gettysburg and now we have, a cool bugle call, but we're just running it randomly. We're actually in the heat of like a communication.
Right.
So that,
right.
That
maybe,
makes it more relevant too, I believe.
Yeah. And maybe what I was hearing, like I said, I heard it sounded like names or yelling or something, yelling names or saying people's names shortly before and shortly after. I heard you talking, definitely for sure. But then there was this, all this, other things. So due to the fact though that, you said the one name in particular that was clear to you was John Patrick.
Yes.
Correct.
Right.
But was it John and was it Patrick, or was it a guy named John Patrick? I can't, how can you can't confirm that?
Well,
there's two guys.
Let's just be, I don't know, I know there's a lot of different people from all over, that day. I don't know if he's a, if there was a resident, John Patrick, possibly it could have been a soldier, but if it was, I feel he was a federal, he was a Union. And, I can be wrong about this, Rob, but I think you'll appreciate it. I think he was part of they had two or three Ohio regiments there. I can be wrong, but I feel that there's a connection to an Ohio regiment. And I want to say, I don't know what regiment, but I feel there's something about, I can be totally wrong, but I do feel that, he was a federal, and an Ohio, Ohio regiment. God, it's hard to say all that, say your state's name. I don't know if that makes any sense, but
If I would have known, I would have gave him the, so if you're from Ohio, and you're a Buckeye, like I am, supposed to say, you greet people, you say OH, and they respond IO.
IO!
So if I would have known, I would have known,
okay,
that would
have
been super weird.
If you ever go back, try it.
Because I believe we will go back.
The Ohio 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, and I think the 7th regiments, the 1st regiments from Ohio, they wore bucktails, actual deer tails in their hats.
Oh wow!
So he's a buck. So he's a bucktail. Yeah.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they did. just like the Iron Brigade, they wore, the Iron Brigade they called them Hardy hats.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a stovepipe, you know, top hat, but it's got a wide brim on it, like a cowboy hat. Those were, you know, they took that as their own. There was more of a Western Brigade because the Iron Brigade was the first Minnesota, you know, and they were, you know, hardy pioneer boys, you know, at the time that was still part of the, you know, the you know, pioneer area, you know, was Minnesota, Iowa, you know, but they, unlike Iowa, you know, I have relatives that, you know, ancestors that were in the Civil War. And they fought out in the western part. They fought in Vicksburg. They fought in Missouri. They fought in Arkansas. You know, and but Minnesotans, you know, they went and they fought. First they were part of the Army of the Cumberland. And then they became, because they're the ones protecting the Shenandoah Valley because of Harper's Ferry. Because, you know, Harper's Ferry in Shenandoah, it was a an armory, you know, for the federal government. That's the one that John Brown broke into and was trying to, you know, trying to steal arms to have a slave insurrection that never happened. But anyways, yeah. So Ohio was part of the, I mean, Iowa was part of, excuse me, Minnesota was part of the Army of the Cumberland, and then the Army of the Cumberland. Once Grant became, you know, the overall, you know, commander, became part of the greater Union Army, you know, the Army of the Potomac. This John Patrick, Nick, you know, Nick, if you're ever there, ask him, you know, say the thing, you know, OH and whatever you guys just said about that. And ask him, you know, ask if he was a bucktail.
Okay. Definitely.
That'd be crazy.
You know, it's funny.
Yeah.
Funny side note. This reminds me. I always tell the story about people in Ohio who talk to each other. One time, I think she got like a clearance, or I gave her a sweatshirt to wear or something. And it was Ohio State. And, you know, sometimes she just doesn't really like to interact with people. And I was like, you know, if you wear that shirt out, if you wear that shirt out, people are going to talk to you. She's like, they're not going to talk to me. I'm like, no, people will stop you and talk to you because you're wearing an Ohio State shirt. And she said, you're insane. And, you know, like, so we left, and she went, I think she went to somewhere in Gettysburg, outlets or something. And within, like, 10 minutes, we went, you know, our separate way or whatever. And she called me 10 minutes. She's like, I can't believe it. I was walking around, and people are already talking to me about my shirt. I'm like, yeah, I told you. She didn't believe it was an actual accurate thing. You know, like if you're not in Ohio, obviously if you're in Ohio and you're taught, you know, you just assume everyone's
right,
from Ohio. But if you're out of Ohio, if you're out of Ohio and you're wearing an Ohio State shirt, people will go out of their way to talk to you if they're from Ohio. And it's just like a thing. You know?
Just like when I run into people out here from Iowa.
Yeah.
Yep. I run into people from Iowa out here in California visiting. It's because I either see they're wearing an Iowa Hawkeye shirt or I see a car, you know, that they're driving, and it says what, you know, because Iowa, you know, on the license plate, they tell you what county that the car is registered in. So when you see an Iowa license plate and you see the first thing you look at is, oh, that's Iowa. Second thing you look at is what county they're from. Because it's really funny, and it's been uncanny that I know, you know, the surrounding four counties of my little, you know, not everybody, but kind of funny how you start naming people, and sometimes people that I don't know the people that I know. You know, it's just kind of crazy like that. But yeah, so I get that.
Did you watch that baseball? Did you watch the Field of Dreams baseball game?
I didn't even know anything about it. I mean, I've seen. You know, that's all.
I sent you the link the day of.
It
was pretty cool.
I didn't open it. You know, so. But my sister Julie, my oldest sister, called me. She says, oh, my God, I was on the map again. I said, what are you talking about? She said, the Field of Dreams. They're playing it was the White Sox against the Yankees, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going, it's not a Field of Dreams. They don't get that many. But they brought in seats. They brought in a lot of seats, you know. it looked like a real baseball. I mean, it is a real baseball stadium, but it's not that big. You know, they have like, you know, a couple wings on either side of the backstop, you know, of home plate. Mm-hmm. But that looked like half a stadium that, you know, you like it looked like almost like a small version of Wrigley Field in Chicago. You know, and I was just like,
well,
oh, my God.
Say, that's still my – when people ask me my favorite paranormal movie, I still tell them that's my favorite paranormal movie.
Oh, yeah. Is this heaven?
Because technically it's a paranormal movie. It's just not like – you know, it's not – everyone wants you to say, like, you know, something scary. Like,
no.
Oh, it was Poltergeist or something. My favorite paranormal movie is Field of Dreams. Always
has. Right. No, I get it.
It qualifies.
I get it. Yeah, it absolutely does, because something out of the ordinary, out of the normal, you know, transpired there, at least in the movie. But as many times I had been home, you know, traveling back, you know, back to Iowa to visit my parents over the, you know, my family over the years, and we would always fly into Chicago because it's cheaper to fly into Chicago because Iowa doesn't have any major hubs, you know, for any airline, even to this day. So we would fly to Chicago, rent a car, and drive back. But we always would pass Dysart, you know, and where Field of Dreams is located at. So one year, when my kids were a little bit older, I said, you know what, we're going to stop. We've been by this so many freaking times. And although even when I lived there, you know, when they did the, you know, oh, God, I can't remember when the movie was made. I think I just missed it. Because I was in the Navy when they started. Anyways, I'd never been there. I've been to Dysart a billion times, but never been to the field. And it's kind of way out in the country from Dysart. I just thought it was like, you know, they make it sound like it's, you know, not necessarily right in town, but it's fairly close to downtown. That's not true at all. It's like 10 miles away from Dysart, out in the sticks, you know. But it was worth it. I got pictures. I'll find them and I'll send you some. You know, and I'll share them with you one day.
Yeah.
But yeah, they did have good hot dogs there. I have to give them that. You know, they have little concessions and stuff there. Very good.
Huh.
So anyway, so I'm sorry.
One day I'll have to get there. But yeah, you know,
yeah.
There was another thing I was going to ask you real quick before we know we're running short on time here.
Right.
And I think we're kind of out of the flow of things, so that kind of stinks too. But that was just me naturally bringing up the
sports
tip.
Yeah.
Dream stuff. Yeah. But I want, you know, there was a thing that we actually captured too, and this was another multiple response, how the gentleman died. And I don't know if you can just go back into that mode and click and pick it up in the next 2 minutes. But, you know, we had, which is interesting that I thought we got it multiple times the same thing.
Wait, of how he died? He told you how he died?
He did tell us how he died.
Mm-hmm.
The John
that's another
Patrick
response
guy?
I don't. Either John Patrick or whoever we were communicating with, we asked how you died, and the response was two times, the same thing. And I find that it wasn't coming through the radio. You know, it wasn't radio. It was actual an intelligent response.
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind, and I could be totally wrong, is an explosion. But I don't know what that means. I don't know how big it is. I don't know. Just something exploded, but I, other than that, I don't know. You know, because they were firing cannons. Both sides were firing cannonballs into that town that day. You know, so I'm not. I don't know. Does that make any sense to you, or is that off?
Well, it could kind of
be.
It could kind of be accurate, but it wasn't like a typical explosion. Do you want to know what happened?
Did, oh, well, let's put it this way. Did something collapse on top of him?
No.
Then you better tell me because I don't know.
Okay, so during mid-conversation, he stopped talking. And when the person tried to get an answer from him, they realized that he was dead. He had a heart attack.
He said he had a heart attack?
That's what it says.
And he said he
That's
had a heart
document
attack.
Statement.
Yeah.
Heart attack.
And
wow.
Do we,
Mm-hmm. And we got heart attack and heart attack twice. So, but I believe,
wow,
if I'm not mistaken, so I have to steal your line here. Forgive, I could be wrong.
Right.
So that's my I'm repeating my Harvey line. I think that there is multiple responses of some sort of explosion or fire or something too that we had captured. I will go through that again, but I believe there was, like, I think I almost remember, and I know I remember one of us repeating the word explosion.
Yeah.
I find that interesting. So I'm going to go back and listen to that because I'm like 99.9% sure that explosion was brought up, and it might have been like one of those things where I was like, did that just say explosion? They were like, no, I couldn't have. You know, it might have been like that type of response because it was like, you don't usually get, I died in an explosion, you know, as like your response, you know, like.
Right.
That's
more
unique.
Got you. So possibly, I'm not saying this, you know, I'm not leading into it or say, oh, I'm not trying to, you know, pull straws here or anything, but I'm just wondering, because I said the first thing that I got was some type, you know, some kind of explosion. So, and you said a heart attack. So wouldn't that scare you to death, an explosion? I mean, just due to the fact, I mean, I'm not sure, of course, an explosion, if it got close to you, you know, and blew something into your chest, you know, of course your heart's going to stop, but possibly it, because of the fight and just the situation, and probably went into tachycardia, and that was it.
Mm.
You know,
right,
from too much adrenaline.
Well, that's, I'm going to review that. It was a 30. It was a 30-minute session, so.
Right.
You know, I.
Well, let me know.
I'm
curious.
I am too, because I'm pretty sure we had captured that. So.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, well, I'll tell
you.
Yeah,
so I'll go through.
Yeah, go through. Let me know.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah,
and then,
thank
you.
We're
going to put together something for those of you listening. We're going to put together a video with that clip, Harvey giving his explanation, and put it out on our no longer defunct YouTube channel that will be revamped and coming out shortly.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Well,
awesome.
I thank the both of you. You know, and Nikki,
thank you
a lot. Thank you for allowing me to be on your show twice.
Yes. Thank you for coming.
If you only knew how accurate that statement is, with some of that, some of the comments she makes, and she's like, "We're having that lady on again, or that guy on again." You know,
Rob, maybe discuss that with her off air. You know, because we don't want people to. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, Harvey.
Yeah.
Jeez,
yeah, I'm just
Rob,
I love you, right?
You
but,
know it.
You know, we want you want you to have, you know, shows. So.
Yeah.
Right.
I get, Rob, I get you, okay? I get you.
I don't.
All right, well, no, not many people do. Harvey does. That's really good one. He gets me.
Right,
he knows me.
I do get you. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to let you
all
go. I've got to go eat my dinner. You guys take care.
All right,
yeah.
We'll talk.
Thank you. You too.
It's good talking to you again. And you got to have humor with this guy, right?
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes.
See, you're laughing. On that note,
yes.
I'll let you guys go.
On that note, yes. Take care.
Have a great evening, okay?
Thanks. All right. Bye.
Well, that was interesting.
Yes. Yes, it was.
I'm curious to see about the explosion thing. I'm pretty sure that was something that came through.
Yeah, no, I believe so, too.
So we'll look at that. We'll get it up. And, you know, I think next week we'll be up for, I think we're going to do some psychic readings next week. We haven't had a psychic on in a while. We can do reading. So look for that, and we'll see everyone next week.
Sounds great. See you then. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.